This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 545, recorded Thursday, July 1st, 2021. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woohoo!
Yeah, now, last week I got a letter, and it prompted me to spend money.
Oh, wow. Yep. Those are the best letters.
Not always. Okay, so this letter came from one of our biggest fans. This was from Daryl.
Oh, we love Daryl.
Yes. So Daryl's advice was, get rid of all the boards. All it does is complicate the broadcast and absolutely crap sound quality. You don't need 10 boards with, I'm cutting out some words here, Daryl, as he knows from how he wrote it, with gates aplenty and tons of filters. Now, I didn't have any of those things. Neither did you, Jerry. The problem appeared to be with the hardware I was using for streaming. And that was the hardware that appeared to be causing the squeal in the audio. So I replaced the streaming board, which is probably a good thing because the streaming board I was using, I bought it and then a few weeks later they discontinued it. So they're not updating it anymore. So I now have a new encoder. Now this one, instead of the old one was Android based, and this new one, the interface is web based. So I have my computer managing the stream, but the actual stream encoding is being done by this new H.264 encoder that I added in.
Ooh, H.264 for yes. Audio only. That's
well. Remember,
we do video too, don't we?
Well, the video so far, the video has really only been the few times I've shown a wall and the actual stream of the show notes and the sites that we're talking about. So, hasn't been that exciting. Now, the other thing I did was I switched microphones. So, I have a few other things I'm going to try over the next few weeks. I have some more cabling coming, but I did go eliminate some things from the setup that were causing trouble, the whole streaming box. So there is a stream. I don't know if anybody's watching live tonight, but hopefully. Now, for those of you who are listening to the recording, hopefully that's also improved because, again, I changed out the microphone for one that should produce less background noise.
Really?
Yeah. Why?
You sound fine to me.
Yeah, but there were comments about the background noise, so I went from a condenser microphone, which was an old one that I left here, because remember this is my secondary location. Yes. I went to a slightly better dynamic microphone.
So are you squeezed up on that microphone?
No, sitting a respectful distance, but well, no, dynamic does work a bit differently, but this is phantom power and you know, everything's working nicely. And you hear me a little differently because this is a dual XLR USB microphone. The XLR is going into a small mixing board where it's mixing with the output from your audio and then being piped directly into the encoder. Whereas the other output, which is the USB output, is going directly into the computer that's running the Zoom. And that's how you're hearing me. So that's the same setup I've done in the past in various places.
Well, is it possible that the background noise was me? Not
always
you.
Possible, but you know, I spent money and money has now been spent. And I don't think they let you return microphones. And it's not like I couldn't use another microphone. But anyway, discussions of microphones aside, as I said, I hope somebody enjoys it. I did a whole bunch of audio testing before the program because this encoder not only can encode to RTMP, which is what you would send to YouTube, it can do RTSP, which I can play in a VLC player. So I essentially had my headphones in and I was listening to myself on a 2-second delay to see how the audio was sounded, which I wasn't able to do before because the old recorder didn't support local streaming. It was hard coded into YouTube. So,
but how can you listen to yourself 2 seconds later? That screws my speech patterns all up.
You practice, but again, I was trying to hear whether or not it sounded clear. And I have a few other ideas for improvements. I have another wire coming. But either way, I think it worked out nicely because I the audio that I heard on the stream seemed to work. Now, there is a notice for the problem with how I'm sending them the stuff, and I may have to tweak that. It says the keyframe is, I'm using a keyframe frequency of 4 seconds or less, which is causing possible buffering. So I may have to tweak the settings, although the only setting here is please give us your RTS. So it may be that I have to go look at some forums. But either way, I'm here, and we have audio. So that's good. See how much I care about this program?
I am so impressed.
Yeah. In other news, the Techno Buffet logo continues to be updated.
Ooh, and it's pretty.
Yeah, you saw the preview, and I am waiting for the person who did the logo to update the lettering for me and tell me how much I owe them. I will pay them as soon as they tell me. But so then we will have the backup logo, we'll have the choice, and I'll do some more redirecting. I think right now I just have a simple redirect I made. So beyond that, since we also talk about 3D printing, I can tell you that I am once again fiddling with the 3D printer.
Well, it of printed, course you are.
Well, it printed something.
Is that progress?
It got through an entire print before it fell out of alignment. I really have to figure out why that keeps happening. Clearly,
what
I'm missing
something. Fell out of alignment?
I switched the Z-stop, which prevents it from going down too far for the automatic bed leveling sensor, the BL Touch. And now it occasionally hits the board or hits the bed.
Because the BL Touch doesn't deploy?
It does deploy.
Because it's off the bed.
It seems to just be going down too far.
Right, but eventually it's going to run into the BL Touch and the pin on the BL Touch is going to snap up and it should stop. No. But if it's trying to, if it's going to home, then your BL Touch may be off the bed, so it'll never hit the bed.
Oh, it hits the bed all the time. But I do not know why it keeps doing that, but it seems to be a problem. And I think the problem is coming because of the alignment of the gantry, which is why I said that I was going to try to add the second axis screw to keep the other side from dipping down. Even though that's not necessarily going to solve all the problems. When it starts to go down, it goes down and sometimes.
So I believe the Ender 3 has eccentric nuts.
What's an eccentric nut?
Okay, so on one side, or maybe on both sides, you've got these, you've got the plate that's got four wheels on it, right? That ride on that extrusion?
Three.
Three, okay. Well, one of them, if you turn it, it'll tighten it or loosen it. It'll move the wheel towards or away from the extrusion.
So you
should have gotten a tool when you got it, a real thin wrench looking thing that you can use to adjust that. And basically it's an off center nut is what it is. So that when you turn it, it moves the wheel around. So it'll move closer to or further away from and it'll tighten it up or loosen it.
So I shouldn't put on the extra axis. I thought that might help.
Maybe it'll help, but you may just have your wheels may just be loose.
I should just tighten everything, shouldn't I?
Well, there's got to be some sort of video on setting up and aligning and tuning an Ender 3. It is such a common printer, and I have seen Ender 3s make remarkable.
Yeah, I've been chalking this up over the last few.
If it makes you feel any better, when I got my Tronxy, my first printer, it was a while before I got a decent print out of it. And at the end, I mean, it was an amazingly reliable and well-performing printer. But, you know, it takes time to figure the printer out, to get it dialed in, to where you can identify when problems start and know how to fix them. It's a learning process. But for an initial start to be able to get the Ender 3 to print something reliably, there's probably just some simple step you're missing that you don't know you're missing. So I would look for some sort of YouTube video on setting up and tuning an Ender 3, specifically an Ender 3.
I think I need to find the tuning one because I've calibrated a bunch of...
Right, but most of the calibration stuff is all about software.
Yeah.
No, it's not really about the hardware. And it sounds like you need to get the hardware straightened out.
Yeah, which is quite possible. But we'll see. Either way, I want to print... But anyway, I want a set. So I will figure that out. But that's my story. So... there is some news from the world of Android and Google. We do talk about that every so often, right?
We do, yes.
Yep. So Google has announced the Play Media Experience program to incentivize developers to improve their cross-device experiences. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So the Play Experience program, essentially the idea is that developers are not pushing integration amongst many devices. So here are some things. Video will enable integration with Android TV, Google TV, and Google Cast for a living room first video programming offering. Will extend premium listening experiences between Cast devices, Android Auto, and Wear OS for better content discovery. And for books, will enable a better reading experience on large screen devices like tablets and the best phone. So essentially, the whole idea is that they want to make it so that when you switch between devices, you have a better experience, which right now don't always.
Yeah. But I'm hoping it'll make more apps available on Android Auto.
Yep. So moving along, Windows 11 will be offering native Android app support.
Interesting.
But it will not be the Play Store. It will be the Amazon App Store.
Well, that makes sense since the Google Play Store is moving away from APKs.
So that doesn't mean you can't have native app support. You just need app bundles. That is another story that is on our list. The future of app bundles is here. So they're going to mandate that app bundles be the thing.
Yep. So no more APKs.
Yeah.
Which means if you want to deploy on Amazon and on Google Play, you now have two different artifacts you need to build. Yay.
Well, maybe the other platforms will support the Android app bundle.
I doubt Windows 11 will.
Clearly not in the short term, but you never know. The Google Play Store will require two-step verification and new identity requirements. So essentially to become a developer, you have to prove your identity a lot more. They think that that will help with bad actors.
That could be. I'll buy that.
And here's one I like. Play Services update has brought a percent progress meter during boot. So you know how close you are to actually booting.
No way.
I have not tried this.
That's crazy. But cool.
So I found some interesting apps. Somebody wrote an article about e-labels, which I thought was interesting. It's an app that actually allows you to edit your Gmail labels and filters on your phone, which is something that the Gmail for Android app does not let you do.
Interesting. I didn't realize you couldn't do that.
Have you ever tried to do it?
No, I haven't.
So if you want to do it, you can try this app. I'm much more likely to fiddle with things like that on my never know. So I decided that I would try the app. Now, there were two articles, and I find these best blank apps for Android articles very interesting.
Yeah.
Because they always introduce me to a bunch of different alternatives that I might not have considered.
Right.
So this is from XDA developers who wrote up alternative camera apps. Not only did they mention that the best camera app may be, of course, the Google camera app or a port of it to another phone. There's Open Camera, which I've used, and that is a camera app. There is Candy Camera, Retica, Footage Camera 2. So this is an article with all of them. Simple Camera. I just like the names. Camera yep. FV5, and it has a light and a full version, and Silent Camera.
I wonder what makes Silent Camera unique.
It doesn't make a shutter sound.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Apparently, it has some other features. Procram X. So Bacon Camera.
That's an awesome name.
Yeah. And Bacon Camera doesn't have Camera 2 API support. Now, the thing is that there is one feature that I've always wanted that Google Camera does not give me.
What's that?
I want the ability to programmatically embed my copyright information inside pictures that I take.
Oh, you want to be able to set like custom EXIF data?
Why not? You can do that in a third-party app, but you can't do that in the Google Camera app. I want my file to say, since I often you know, do something with my picture. I want it to just have my name.
Interesting.
Well, remember, if I don't want to share that with somebody, I can strip that later, but I want the file to save that way. That's my goal. So they also wrote up the best Wear OS apps. So in their opinion, the best Wear OS apps include a bunch of ones that I'm surprised about, and Messages. That doesn't surprise me that you messages.
Sure. Yep. Yep.
Calculator. Because of course you need one of those.
Because nothing says nerd like a calculator watch.
Camera remote. And this is one that I like.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, I don't have the one that they're recommending, which is camera remote. I just have the stock Google one where you can press a button and trigger your camera. So that's more like a shutter button.
Still, that's extremely useful.
Yeah. I remember that there were several times that I put my phone onto like a little tripod and wanted to take a group photo. Not recently, but actually I know exactly when it was December 2009. It's been a while since I needed to take a group photo. But again, this seems to have additional features. So it offers, again, a viewfinder, an optional app. But again, they've commented, they wonder why a camera remote is not part of Wear OS, which you probably should, or at least a shutter app.
It is a non-obvious use of the watch.
I thought it was an obvious use of the watch.
Oh, well, it's obvious once you say it. But
yeah.
It's now, not beforehand.
They also cite Google Keep, Todoist, Outlook, that all have very good Wear OS support. Telegram, apparently. Google Translate. Now, that's an interesting one. Google Translate on your watch.
You use it Dick Tracy style?
Well, I'm just imagining holding out my arm to somebody and asking them to speak into my watch.
Hmm.
I think that might be weird for some people. There's apparently they liked IFT. Google Maps, which has a really good watch interface, because I remember I've navigated while walking. There's a voice recorder if, again, your watch is less equipped. And of course, various watch customization apps, which I don't really count, because if the sole purpose for me to install an app on my watch is to customize my watch, then why do I have my watch?
So you can customize it. And you forgot my favorite game.
What game is that?
The 2048. I love that game.
Would you play that on a watch?
I don't know. It might give me, kill some time.
So moving beyond that, Google Pay will soon add the ability to store your vaccination card.
Ugh.
Well, the same way that they allow you to store your transit pass. Why not? People want to, regardless of.
Because we should not be publicly volunteering private medical information. It should not be a requirement for participation in society that you expose your private medical information to the world or to anybody who is not your doctor.
I'm only talking about international travel. That's the only one that currently. So admittedly, I don't think I'm necessarily going to load my vaccination card into Google Pay but I would like an easier way. If other countries are going to require that I show them proof of vaccination, I would like an easy way to share that.
They can bite me if they want to see proof of my vaccination.
Okay. Well, to be honest, I'm not traveling internationally right now, so it's not an issue for me. But I talk to people who want to go places. A friend of mine just said that he wanted to take a trip and has a pandemic policy. He asked me if I wanted to come along. I'm trying to decide if I feel like going flying international. There are plenty of nice places to see in the United States. Maybe I should start small. I could visit Sheboygan. Have you ever been to Sheboygan?
If I have, I didn't know at the time.
Okay. Never been there. I don't know what there is to see in Sheboygan, but I just like the name Sheboygan. Either way, I am not
necessarily. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. I am not necessarily in favor of storing my vaccination card in Google Pay, but it involves a photocopier and a laminator. They give you this big, gigantic card and it doesn't fit in your wallet, so I tried to scale it down. So far, I've never actually needed my vaccine. But you know.
Good. You shouldn't need it for anything except for going to see your doctor. You shouldn't need it to go watch a football game or go to a different state or. Oh, God.
By the way, I agree with you on several of those matters. It's the international thing where I'm practical about it. There has to be some way to avoid spread of contagion over borders.
And let's be clear. I'm not against the vaccine, although I have serious concerns about the way the mRNA is.
There's nothing illegitimate about being concerned, but there's also other issues. I'm concerned about many things. I'm concerned every time I cross the street. Not comparing Penn to saying that you should be critical of anything in your life. You should not just.
I'm just going to woosah.
How about this? Google Photos prepares to add a memories home screen.
That's cool. I like the memories things. I like those.
Yeah, I reproduce that myself. I've been, I was reading this Ars Technica article where they're talking about one of these days I might try that. The only thing, I am not tied to Google Photos. The only thing I like is having a digital photo frame. So I like the fact, the Google smart displays, I don't use, if they had the ability, then I would be off of, in fact, I'm technically off of it. I just copy my photos there. So I've copied the entire archive and I do most of my photo, but I have reproduced the This Day in Personal History. The only problem is in 2013 and 2014, I ball tagged with that date. So a picture from 50 years ago is shown as on this day in July of 2014.
Well, sure. And it's going to be unless, because they can't tell.
Well, no, what I'm saying is I probably would not be able to identify the, probably get the, so one of these days I have to, but these are thousands. My father in the 70s liked to take slides. I found his, had them shipped off to him. So I have a lot of them. And I thought when my parents retired some years ago that they might actually catalog them. I thought that would be a good retirement project. And I can't identify. Oh, well. Project for another day. So Chrome is preparing to add an optional HTTPS only mode.
Interesting. I'm sure it'll be opt-in for a while and then it will be opt-out. Right?
Does that surprise you?
No.
Everybody's trying to move.
Yep.
You know, and I think Let's Encrypt removed the barrier of cost. It's not as much of an issue.
They removed a lot of barriers, not just cost, but also setting up a certificate used to require some knowledge and some skill. And Let's Encrypt greatly reduced that.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the fact that there's not a financial barrier or a you mentioned the technical. People used to say, why should I spend money or time on this? I'm not a but now it's very easy for any website. You are a Lenovo user. Apparently, they are offering a wireless charger for laptop.
Wow. And it works on anything that charges via USB-C.
Well, again, it's an adapter, so it's not built in. So again, it's a wattage.
That's kind of cool.
Well, I'm not sure if I mentioned it. I actually got a USB-C to barrel connector adapter for my laptop.
What's that?
You know what a barrel connector is, right?
It's a round connector.
Yeah, and a lot of laptops use them. So I found this company that makes these adapter cables so that you could actually charge things with a barrel connector charger. They also
and do it why did you do that?
So I could use a dual USB-C charger to charge my computer at the same time.
So you don't need a power brick? You just need a...
A USB-C PD.
And that gives you enough amperage and the right voltage? Interesting.
Well, again, not for every laptop, but for they had not only ones with certain barrel connectors and power requirements, but they had some of the proprietary. I like choice. This means I might have, to, if I get a dual USB charger, to me, USB-C charger that has enough wattage and the ones that are designed to power things like MacBooks do. I need 45 watts for so I can get myself a 65 watt dual USB-C PD charger and charge both at the same time.
Cool.
I figured it was worth a shot. It was like a $10. But anyway, TCL is offering a pair of glasses that will act as a portable external monitor.
Really?
I like TCL. My television. I have a Roku TV that I bought. I was once in the TCL theater, so I'm a fan of theirs. But they have the TCL Nextwear G, a portable external monitor that apparently is ready to come to market. It uses two 1080p OLED panels to simulate a 180-inch display with a 16:9 aspect ratio. It has integrated stereo speakers. So essentially, 3D is dead. People are not taking advantage of 3D, although in theory, probably some. The idea is that you hook this up to an external device, any device that's, so that can be a phone, that could be a computer. And you could essentially watch. I'm just wondering how much they're going to charge for that.
My question is, how does it work with old for old people?
How do I answer that question?
Well, okay. So, you know, as you get older, your eyes lose the ability to focus on things that are really close. And this puts the pixels really close to your eyes. So unless you're young, very young, you probably won't be able to focus on the screens. So how does that work?
I'm not sure. So... Again, I'll wait to see what people say about it. But again, there's possibility.
Huh. It says it supports 3D and 4K playback.
Yeah, I'm just saying 3D by itself.
4K on 1080p screens. Sure.
It supports the playback. But again, it's an interesting idea for a market where not everybody wants to watch a 5-inch just being released. So you're going somewhere, you want a better experience than a 5-inch phone screen. This might be an option depending on how much they're charging for it. So let me ask you, what would be the price point? I know you like.
I do. I would want more pixel, at least 4K.
Well, again, this is the first product. If it's successful, sure. You know, they're going to, I'm just asking what would make this an impulse buy for you price-wise?
$500 and I'd buy it.
Okay. You think it's going to be 500 or less?
But 500 when it's 4K.
Okay.
I don't think, regardless of the price, I don't think I'd buy it at 1080p.
I'm just curious to see what they can do because they really got the you know, TCL.
Although I find it amusing that the compatibility list includes a bunch of phones.
Yeah,
how does that work? Is it Bluetooth?
USB-C.
So that's crazy.
Anything that supports USB-C direct. So the USB-C powers the phone. And if you look on their list, let's see, do they have your phone on there?
They don't have any of the Google Pixels on there.
That's just, oh, well.
Interestingly, they don't have my laptop either.
Well, again, a compatibility list.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but all they're saying is it has to support USB-C video out. So if your device supports that, this should work. Lenovo, those people who had a smart clock, they're offering another smart clock, and this one will have a wireless charging attachment. I like they had two Lenovo smart clocks. The original one I liked better. So they had a new one, which is I think it was the Clock Essential or something. The original I bought when it was on discount, and I do keep that. Not only does it have an assistant in it and no camera, but you can set the clock face to show, as I said, I like using smart display.
So where does it charge?
Well, the new one has a wireless charging attachment where essentially you would hook it in and then there would be a wireless charger next to it. It's not for charging the smart clock. It's for charging your device next.
Whoa, that's silly.
Well, if the clock is on your bedside table and this is plugged in and then you have a charger attached to the clock, you can put your smartwatch or your earbud.
Yeah, but then if it's going to be beside it, you might as well have a wireless charging there anyway that's not connected so you can move it around if needed.
Yeah, well, that's why it's an optional attachment.
Yeah.
According to one commenter, Google Contacts is starting to look like the old Google Plus profile.
Really?
Yeah. Well, look at the picture.
My contacts don't look like that.
Are you using Workspace? Or
Gmail.
Yeah, this is for people.
Oh, well, cool.
It may eventually come to other people. Again, look at what Teams is doing in the corporate. Google, my observation, 1% of the market, Microsoft, they're competing with integrated business experience because you want not only do you want people to be using your mail, messaging platform, your video chat platform. So all these companies are trying to create this experience. Zoom will offer a progressive web app, which is good. Well, remember, one of the computers that I've used where I happen to be has been an old Chromebook. So why not? Either way, I just acquired a refurbished Lenovo Chromebook Duo. Excuse me, Duet. So the Duet is the one that doubles as a Chrome OS top. eBay was having it. So that just arrived today. A new report claims that half the planet owns a smartphone.
Really?
Yeah. According to Strategy Analytics, which claims 50% of humans on Earth have a personal smartphone.
Cool.
Okay. I'm not sure how accurate their poll is, but they are saying that smartphones are cheap. Remember, in some countries, for various reasons, they are essentially. And in many cases, they're the only electronics that some people have. They don't have a lot of people, everything. If you own a Nest device, Google is committed to Nest device updates for 5 years, at least 5 years. And that's from the time that they were released, not the day.
Interesting.
Well, again, it's back to, they can't really commit to giving you updates for 5 years from when you purchased it. They can only commit to giving it for 5 years.
No, they could give it updates for 5 years after they stop selling it.
No, I didn't say they couldn't. I'm saying that they couldn't do it from the day you purchased it. That would mean that the security expiration, you need to at least say it's, otherwise it's completely impractical. So it's either the date that they started manufacturing and stopped supporting it.
Or the date that they stopped selling it.
Yeah.
That should be.
Yeah, when they discontinue the product. But they are saying they're going to do it for at least 5 years. I don't know. After 5 years, there are certain devices I probably do want to replace. And I would imagine that if, you know, not every Nest. T-Mobile, Verizon have implemented the FCC's anti-spoofing protocol, which I always mess up the name of.
Stern Shaken?
Well, I always do it the other way around. I always call it shake and stir. So I had to look at the article to make sure I wasn't inverting it again.
Ah.
So this is, again, the thing that prevents him. So it prevents you.
I have noticed significantly fewer calls from my times or my area code and my prefix.
Which is good, isn't it?
Yeah, because those are almost always spam calls.
Yeah. That's where I hit the screen. My favorite lately is your. I'm calling from your warranty center. That's my favorite.
Anyway, I don't think I've ever got that one.
That's where they tell you that your warranty on your car is expiring. And
oh, I've got the car warranty thing. Yeah.
That's the one. I don't know if that actually works on people. Must have. Finally, Google Chat now supports custom statuses. So now Google Chat is continuing its replacement of Hangouts. And some of the, because they're actually putting attention into chat, there are some features of it I like, even though I didn't dislike Hangouts. One of them being that the integration, but now the status, which is now integrated at the top of Google Chat integration, you can now set a custom status. And
so you can put whatever text you want there.
Yeah, except it doesn't work on the, or is seen.
That's funny.
Well, you have to start some. But either way, I'm just waiting because I am a longtime Pigeon user. You're familiar with Pigeon, right?
Yes, it is a multi-chat protocol chat app thing.
Yeah, the person who maintains the Hangouts plugin for Pigeon, even though the Hangouts plugin does work for Google Chat, the developer I've been following, I like
you. I don't feel anything.
Well, I don't like having 50 things. You know, my choices are only be on one chat platform and then miss out on the people who want to be on other ones, or bridge the experience so that I'm on one platform and my platform connects to all the other platforms.
Okay, cool. I'm glad it works for you.
Well, that's the thing. It's an arms race because all these platforms do not make their APIs. So I rely on the kindness of developers to figure out how to reverse engineer APIs platform. Anyway, you got a dream.
Yes, you do.
That's my dream. One platform, regardless of where everybody is in reality, interoperability so that I don't have to be on five different. I'll get there.
I'm sure you will.
Someday I'll be. Anyway, that brings us. Monday is Independence Day in the United States.
Woohoo!
So happy.
Thank you.
British. Sorry.
Why?
Independence from. So I'm sorry it didn't work out. I'm glad that we. Isn't that what you're.
Something like that.
I don't want to be in a relationship with you, but I'm glad. Clearly, I'm not good at this, or I wouldn't. But anyway, jokes aside, traditionally the day that I, in honor of the holiday, that I watch a classic American
movie. A classic American movie, you say?
Yes. 1776, the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Well, it's a, it was a Broadway show, and in 76 for the centennial, and the star of the movie playing John Adams was William Daniel. He's an actor.
Possibly.
In later years, he was famous. Before that, he was a doctor.
Sounds like before my time.
Well,
1776 is way before my time.
Yeah. But I happen to date. I also watch Groundhog Day on Groundhog. But I like to watch at least one America Thor around it. I also hear there's fireworks. Who can say no to fireworks?
Well, you don't want fireworks in your ice cream.
No, there are fireworks. They have some extra budgeting from last year. So apparently they're coming back with it. Anyway, hopefully the stream worked out. I will go find some instructions because I'm having buffering problems. I'm sure this, but hopefully live, you can tell me how horrible or how wonderful. At least that's my. So until next week, Jerry, that will be July 8th. Will you be available?
I suspect so.
Okay. And I will look forward to be the printer. Maybe I'll install the dual access upgrade kit. Maybe I won't. I'm trying to build suspense here. Maybe I'll print a whole bunch of little objects. By the way, that's the filament, not an ear popped off. But now I'm prepared for it. Although I still haven't figured out where that's probably a problem. Shall we call it a night?
Let's call it a night.
Okay, I had fun.
It was lots of good news today.
Yes. I'm happy when there's stuff to talk about. Some weeks it's just slim picking.
Yep.
So until next week, everybody, happy 4th of July.
Yay. Bye, folks.